السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the program known as Screaming Reels. This chilly Saturday morning, and with us we got Adil Mangli with us on the line. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners, on, like you said, it's very, very cold this morning.
Yeah, suddenly, Adil, it seems like the weather on the weekend just kind of changes a bit. Last week, Saturday also, I really had a cold front, most I think they just came through on that Thursday or that Friday, but Thursday morning.
It's suddenly changing, and it's sort of putting a dampen on the fishing spirits. But I think every weekend now, a lot of people are just focusing on their Qurbani.
That's true, also correct. But next week, this time, inshallah, Friday will be the first day of Eid as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from one and all as well, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial. Adil, any plans for after the Eid? Well, if it was anything, it was going to be this weekend. Otherwise, then definitely the weekend after Eid.
No, definitely. We've got quite a bit of plan. I've already drawn up my roster for the survival camps that we're going to be hosting for the next few weekends. So we're looking forward to that, inshallah. And, well, today, believe it or not, even with the weather, I'm on duty at the moment at school. We're having our Grade 7 Entrepreneur's Day project today. So we've got a lot of exciting kids here at school. They've got stalls selling various items and things. It's done by the kids for the kids. But we do encourage the community to come out and support the children. Initially, we were going to have everything on the soccer field, but we've moved it now to the school hall. So, Azadwal residents that are coming to support our kids here today, inshallah, just come through to the hall and see what sort of things are up for sale. You know, what's interesting about the Entrepreneurs Day is a lot of kids become very creative and they make their own things, etc.
And is this open to public, Adil, for today?
Yeah, definitely. It's similar to last week's program. I think there was a sports program last week.
Yeah.
In Lens.
Yeah, that's
then,
cool. But yeah, it was under the same name, I would think, for the grade sevens and then, of course, moving on to high school.
Yeah, I think it's one of the projects that they have to do in economic management sciences where they've got to do an entrepreneur's day where it encourages children to bring things and sell it at school, to learn a little bit about purchasing and, you know, what is profits and losses, etc. So, yeah, so it will be quite exciting. If you are in a vulnerable area, come to Dr. Yusuf Dadu Primary School and support our kids.
Inshallah. Adil, tell us about your survival camps. Adil, more or less, the first one, when is it planned for, Adil?
Okay, so we've got, I've got the first one for the 8th of September. But that one is already booked out because it's kids from the school. Then on the 22nd, we do have one available.
The 8th of September, so now, Adil, you mean next weekend?
Yeah, after the Eid weekend. We've been planning it for a while now, so it's fine.
Sure.
I need to do a few things before exam time comes in and stuff like that. But on the 29th, we've got a program with the Jamiat. We're working again together with the Jamiat.
29th of September.
The 29th, that's the last day of school.
Yeah, basically, I was going to ask you the same thing. Is that when school's closed, basically?
Inshallah, we're planning to take about 30 youngsters from the Forsberg area.
All right. I think before that, the one on the 8th, where's your plans for going, Adil?
We're going to Willow Express, inshallah.
Okay, perfect.
We'll be going to go Willow Express. Again, it's all touch and go. You know, a lot of parents are reluctant right now because if you feel cold, then you're worried about whether you want to send your kids out or whatever. But
And if you're feeling cold today, you think it's going to be cold next month as well?
That's also true. We're basically waiting for... You know, when you do the camps, it's a bit difficult when you open it up to the public. But here, I'm focusing on my learners that I teach at school, the grade 7 boys. So we are going to be working with them. So inshallah, I've got more or less quite a large number of boys that are ready to go.
Okay.
So that's for the 8th, inshallah. Then the 22nd is a date that I've put out there, but I haven't yet received any inquiry. So if anybody is interested for a boys' camp, not a girls' camp, a boys' camp we want to do on the 22nd of September as well. And then on the 29th till the 2nd, we're going to be taking the Jamiat boys from the Fordsburg area in the care of Maulana Farid Ahmad, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. That'll be excellent. Now, there is, of course, for your survival camps, Aril, fishing trips, when you planned?
Fishing trips, well, first of all, you and I have a lot of catching up to do.
Plenty, Aril, plenty.
Because we've got our outside broadcasting. There's a few spots that we needed to go to last year that we didn't go to. We will try, inshallah. I think this season, as the bear season sort of comes into play, like September, October, you know, late October, early November, we must do some serious bear fishing. One of my plans, inshallah, is to go to like the Werp or something like that.
You don't think by October, early November will be already too late, Adil?
Yeah, that's why I say, inshallah, one of the weekends there, because I've got to find time to spend with my family as well.
Mm. So perhaps in that September time, inshallah, Adil, we can perhaps look at something, do something for the listeners out there as well. And maybe if the weekend Hanzara is on duty, we'll grab him and ask him to come with us, Adil.
Definitely, something very good. I know Hanzara is a keen fisherman.
Hanzara is a keen fisherman. Okay, we got Brother Luqman with us on the line. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Malana?
Alhamdulillah, Luqman, how are you keeping?
Allah shukr and assalamu alaikum to Adil and to all the listeners as well.
Luqman,
wa alaikum
salam
wa
rahmatullahi. Adil?
Hello?
Adil, you there?
I'm here.
I thought we lost you there for a while. Look, what we're saying to Adil, it seems like as the weekend approaches, that cold front comes with it.
Gee, it's one big cold front. You can see very cloudy and overcast here, and a bit of windy. You know, it's quite a bit of wind blowing. So this time, or in this case, I think it's better just to stay at home. Yeah.
have the hot chocolate and sit under the blanket.
Gian, can make your traces and get ready for the upcoming season, inshallah.
Mm. You know, generally, just before the weather actually starts warming up, we always feel, I mean, the additional blankets go away and the heaters are put away, and then generally just before the warmer days actually start, you kind of get that one more last cold front, you know, that actually hits you. You think this is it now, Luqman?
Yeah, I think it is. Like you say, it happens every year. It's not something that's new. You know, every year you get this last cold front that comes through. And Allah knows best. It's probably for the better of everything that's going forward. Chief.
Look, man, tell us in terms of fishing for the upcoming season. What sort of advice do you have for our people? Of course, next week being the day of Eid, inshallah. And thereafter, within 2 or 3 weeks, I mean, you're going into school holidays again.
It all depends, you know, what type of fishing or what type of where people want to go to, you know, even for the holidays. But generally, September is one of the better fishing months. You know, it's just out of winter. And fish, all types of fish, you know, even your blue carp, which normally bites from December onwards, they also, there is a window period in September, October that they do bite before they actually spawn. And most of the other freshwater species do that. Before they spawn, they go onto a feeding frenzy. And the same goes with bears, you know, before they spawn. They do feed a bit. So, yeah, it is a good time to fish wherever you're going. And it's inland waters. It's excellent time to fish. And for those that are also going down to the coast, you know, saltwater fishing also in September seems to be or starts picking up again.
What about just in the harbour for those people that are perhaps not clued up going out deep sea fishing and they just want to go sit there in the harbour perhaps with the family for a few hours, Luqman?
It has become a big part of the so-called German trip, you know, all our brothers that are fishermen generally do it. It's become part of the holiday where one night or two nights are kept for fishing, where, like you say, the men and the young children will go and fish in the harbor. So it is good. It's good fun for everybody all around.
In fact, you're saying that now. My cousin just phoned me about 2 days ago to say he's in Durban. Can he get a number of someone that can take him harbour fishing? So you're right. It's sort of becoming quite a common trend now.
And then you're finding a lot of people, whether fishermen or not fishermen. I think because now, when the guys that are actually doing the fishing get back and they tell you, I mean, the convenience in terms of them supplying the tackle, the bait, and it's just that few hours. So a lot of people are actually, like I say, fishermen or not fishermen, are actually going out and actually trying it and really enjoying the experience of it.
No, definitely. It is like something, I would say, you know, we've also recently have quite a few guys, whoever is going down to Durban will phone through for advice, and we give it to them, whatever they need, we sort them out.
What sort of advice would you give to that first timer going, look man, never ever been out fishing, or not really a fisherman at all, and the guy just wants to go with the kids and the family for perhaps 2-3 hours, what would you tell him for going out there in the harbour?
You know what, the charter operations, it's a lot easier for first timers, because what happens is, like you said, a guy's kitted out, he's got all his tackle, even he teaches you, he'll show you. If you got an inquiring mind and you keep asking him questions, he'll answer and he'll help you all the way. So it is the ideal or the perfect thing for first-time fishermen as well, because they learn a lot on their first trip. But we've also got a number of guys that prefer using their own tackle, because look, the commercial guys buy cheap tackle knowing that people are going to damage it or, you know, waste their line, waste their hooks. So we've got also a good number of people that take their own tackle. And for harbor fishing, you don't need anything fancy, anything, you know, over the top. Just a standard 6.5 or 7 foot medium or medium heavy spinning rod. You know, spooled with about 12 or 15 pound line, or if you want a gold braid, 10 or 20 pound braid, and a couple of hooks and weights. You know, there's nothing, a lot to it. So it's actually quite a convenient and easy way of fishing here.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, gets me is like when you talk about taking your own tackle onto the boat and having access to like sort of good tackle, you know, like you said, if the guys come there to you and you can hook them up with it, it does make a big difference. I know that at times when you go on the harbor, especially Monana, that sometimes you can hook into something really big there. You know, there's some big fish. Guys talk about sharks, they talk about stingrays, you know, and a lot of the guys will tell you that there's even rockcod, big rockcod in certain areas in the harbor. So yeah, choosing the right tackle and obviously going with the right person will put you onto the fish, inshallah.
Inshallah. You don't know what's going to hit you there in the ocean. I mean, it could be anything, any size. You could be in for a lucky surprise. So if you are going down there, of course, like they said, you can contact Brother Luqman Mia. There's quite a few chapters that are out there. It just makes your life so much easier. Going down there, you don't have to worry about taking your own stuff from you, especially if you're not that keen fisherman. I mean, just going out there and you're just going to spend a few hours perhaps with the family, you would thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah, look, man, before you go, moving away from the sea, from the harbor area, you know, Mulana Sajjad and them were a couple of weeks at Materia a couple of weeks ago. What's happening across the border in terms of other dams, other areas that the guys are fishing?
As far as this is concerned, you know, the only other venue people talk about is Letsibogo in Botswana. And the people are catching, but not the numbers like we saw in previous years. You know, it has become a lot more tougher, but you're still getting big fish. We've had a couple of guys that went, some people battled, you know, they didn't get the numbers, not even 3 to 4 fish a day per person was a lot, you know. So it is tough fishing, but still, the nice thing about nets is your sizes. You know, even if you're going to get three or four fish for the day per person, you're still going to get big fish. You know, you're going to get 4.8, couple of fives maybe if it's on the right day. But your chance to still get your PB, as they call it, your personal best, nets is still one of the preferred destinations. And then crossbow, you know, it's still tiger season, tiger still biting, so those that have been going to the Zambezi and that are still catching good tiger fish.
Oh, what about the you're speaking about Lesibogo, Lukman, what about the condition of the waters at the moment?
Well, the last person we spoke to, and even sent me a photo, he estimated, he didn't exactly find out the dam level was sitting at around 50 or 60%, he wasn't too sure. But the water is also that off color, you know, it's just a murky color, almost like that Raal dam color water when I looked at the photo that he sent to us. But like I say, in that dirty water, let's see, one of those dams that can still produce.
So.
Interesting stuff. Next stop, Qurbani, inshallah, that is next weekend. And then after that, we can go into some serious fishing, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Any advice before you leave?
Not really advice. It's just that, you know, we've previously spoke about, you know, for the Nakhang store that we... trying to get rid of a lot of the old and outdated tackle, and alhamdulillah, in the last month we've given the whole shop a revamp, so all, you know, the customers or fishermen in that area are most welcome to go in now. It's a new look store like the rest of our branches, you know. We've retiled the whole shop, repainted it, and the selection is better. We've introduced some new lines in that store which they weren't carrying. So alhamdulillah for the Farinakhang or Roshni listeners, you know, it's a store to go into now. It's a lot more spacious. We've created more space, taken out a lot of the old and outdated stuff. So for all the listeners out there, they feel they're most welcome to go in and have a look at the new look Solis Farinakhang store.
Okay. What's the address of that store, Lukman?
It's number 47 Four Trekker Street, Farinakhang.
So it's on the main road, am I correct?
It's on the main road, Jit. It's diagonally opposite Fushia Motors, which is a very nice, alhamdulillah, mashallah, nice motor car dealership. So it's just diagonally opposite them as well.
I'll have to see if they're selling a bucky there, Lukman. If they're selling cars, it's no good opposite the fishing shop there.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got some nice fishing vehicles. So you can do it a one-stop shop, you know, you can go there, buy a nice fishing vehicle and come across the Solis and just fill it up, inshallah.
And then drive off straight to the van.
Drive off.
Yeah, around the corner.
Around the corner, you hit the Vaal River, Vaal Dam, and you can start fishing. So within the same day, you can do everything, inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay, Lukman, jazakumullah for your time. We'll catch up with you the following Saturday, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Adil, so you're going fishing now, Adil? Buy one baki, go fishing, all them.
Inshallah. You know what's the funny part? Maybe the listeners can even hear it in the voices and whatever. This weather has a very negative effect on your sort of your fishing persona. Like, you know, when you think about going fishing in weather that's windy and cold,
yeah, you get put off.
It takes a real die-hard fisherman to actually say, yeah, I'm looking forward to something like that.
How's Boshkop doing, Adil? So, I mean, as Adil people in Boshkop, it's like...
You're talking about Carltonville Boshkop?
Yeah.
The Carltonville Boshkop, apparently, a couple of guys were there recently that I spoke to. And they said the bears are coming out. In fact, we were talking to Mohammed Patel last week as well, and the week before, where he was talking about those pockets of grass where you find it underneath. And I've actually seen some guys that posted a video on, you know, I was talking about that deeper, is it called deeper? Yeah. It's that the fish finder.
Yes.
The one that you connect to your fish rod, fishing rod that you put in. And so these guys went to test out that on the Boskop dam, and they actually caught bears where you would normally not look for the bear. So it's a game of trying to read the water, understand it. I think that's what Mohammed Patel was talking about as well, because they had observed, those little pockets where they found the fish sitting in those pockets, and they were managing to get them out from that area.
Mm-hmm.
So like I say, from the reports I've heard, the guys are picking up. We wanted to go to Boskop a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't manage, for some reason or other. But local dams in this area, on this side of the world, where the guys are still fishing, he's obviously Carlton Bull Boskop for the bears. And then there's, I'm just trying to think of the name now, where the police station is.
Are you talking of...
Anyway, it will come to us. Somebody will WhatsApp it to us. A couple of guys went there. I'm not sure about the access to that dam.
Madam Rose?
It's also on the Carltonville Road.
No, I said Madam Rose.
Madam Rose.
There is one like that, but there is another one as well. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then...
Maybe Muhammad is with us on the line. Maybe he'll know the name of the dam.
Yeah, definitely.
Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam to you, Mulana, Adil, and all the Radio Islam listeners.
Wa alaikum salam. Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah, shukr.
But before you actually go further, we're just trying to get a name of the dam.
The dam you are looking for is Kerskraal.
Yeah. Is Kerskraal, is it open to the public? Is it available for fishing?
It is open to the public. They fenced off certain areas we can't get into, but obviously that fences, some of them are broken. The reason why people don't go to Kerskraal anymore, because your cars and stuff get broken into. But there are safer areas on the dam, which is basically managed by Westfall Bassmasters. That obviously you have to get permission from the Westfall people to get into that. It's the entrance that you were talking about now earlier.
The police station.
That's correct.
But do they generally give permission, or is it a sort of appointment structure? How does it work?
It's a bit of a red tape situation. You have to know somebody in the club, and sometimes you have to go with them. It's so much red tape. But normally the guys go there on the weekend. They don't really have any issues there. But the problem is launching from the open section, if you're going with a big boat, is a bit of a mission. But if you're going with a small duck or a small dinghy, I don't think there'll be a problem launching from those areas. You know, obviously, you're either going to go with your gumboots or with your sandals or whatever, to get them through the grass and the mud to push the boat in. But with a bigger boat, your best option would be from the Westfall Bassmasters site.
And your shore fishing, of course, very difficult because of the reeds that are actually surrounding the dam.
Say again, Molana, I didn't hear you.
I say your shore fishing is going to be actually very difficult because of the reeds that actually surround the dam.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult. But even if you go out with a small rubber duck or something like that, you still have fun. This time of the year when the fish come on to spawn, a lot of the people fish from the dam wall. They actually stand on the dam wall. In fact, I was on the dam fishing the one day when there was this young boy fishing from the dam wall, and he hooked a huge bass. I'm telling you, we seen the bass, and we told him, look, we'll land it for you, because we were standing up on the dam wall. That fish must have been in excess of about 4.5 kilos, and because we've seen the fish come up, and he was fighting the fish with a small rod, but he had like no control over that fish, and eventually it just broke off, broke his line, and the fish got away.
Yeah, but from the dam wall, also, how would you actually land that fish?
Look, you're standing on the dam wall. It'll be almost like a Durban pier situation.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? You got to run from the pier, you can run from the pier all the way
to the shore,
you know. But then that's going to be a bit challenging, because you got to go up the stairs and down. There's a few stairs on the side, and a few dodgy spots we have to get down, and that's going to be a mission. But Kiaskar Dam is also very nice. If you're talking about numbers of fish, I think if you take you know, some kids with the, I think they'll have a blast because there's a, the population has exploded like crazy. You're getting those like 30 centimeter bass, you know. You're casting anything and everything and everywhere, and you're just catching fish, you know. It's quite fun for the kiddies. But the bigger fish are quite challenging on that dam, especially during the summer months. And we've had situations where we, you know, we actually, you know, you take the nose of the boat, you crash it like into certain sections of the reef, but you find, you know, small openings in there. And heavy weight, big bait into that, you know, the reef. And these fish were sitting, I mean, I don't think, you know, you can actually imagine that fish can sit in areas like that, where if you can imagine the base of the reef have like pockets, you know, they were sitting right deep into that reef, in that pocket, and it was just mind-blowing. I couldn't understand that, but you know, it opens one's mind into finding fish and then locating fish. It's just crazy.
You know, you're talking about those openings in the reeds and stuff like that. A lot of the guys that used to fish open fats in the very, very early days, I mean, when it used to be safe but to go to there, they'll talk about, I know my brother always tells me they used to have this big metal boat or a canoe or something. And they used to push that thing on the reeds, and they used to, you know, sort of like maneuver it through the reeds until they get into these open fetches. And I've heard a lot of guys who've been adventurous enough to do this find these openings within the reeds that you can't really see. And sometimes they're quite huge, and you can actually see the fish in there. It's so clear. I think because a lot of the water filters through the reeds and comes into those little dams, if you want to call them, or pools, and you have a lot of settling there, and you do have quite a bit of fish in those areas.
You see what we found. In fact, I don't know if they still do it, but I've actually discovered this formation or structure on the Vaal River itself. What happens is they used to do it once a year around this time of the year, where they stop the flow of water from the Vaal Dam. Just to make sure that the river runs out from the lock on the barrage, where they let water out, they let quite a bit of water out, so the homeowners and the guys that have launches and things like that on the Vaal River, they give them a chance to repair the launches and their jetties and stuff like that. Then when you have these reed banks, I'm sure most of the listeners can understand what soil erosion is. Now, a particular type of sand, not that black, like, you know, that peat moss, you
like
know, that
peat,
fertilizer
yeah.
type of color. Not that black one. You get almost like a reddish sand where these reeds grow on. And what has happened was, at the base where the reeds were growing, the sand is eroded. You know? And
right.
We looked at these deep holes, and I looked at it, and I said to myself, you know, one day I'm going to come back. And we went out with a small, like a dinghy, and we found interesting pieces of structure. Those years we didn't have technology like, you know, side scan and down scan and all these fancy type of fish finders. So we used to go out in a small boat and take photos and, you know, make notes and, you know, have areas like that. And we used to take like hundreds of pictures of different pieces of structure on the river, you know. And this is where we found those eroded areas on the reef. And like Adil was saying on Boskop, summer months, you find the bass tight up against the reef. But the difference would be you get like, you know, an area which is like 6 foot deep and then goes 2 foot deep. And then you can't really see or gauge how deep it is on the bank on certain areas. And certain areas we found, you get right up to 5-6 foot deep, but right on the bank. But because of that, like I'm saying, that eroded areas, a small area of about 20 meters that just eroded, you know, on the edges, holds like a ton of bass. And then you never get out to fishing that spot because, you know, when you come in there with your small dinghy or whatever, the grass is so that you can't even throw through there, or you can't even get through there because it's so thick, you know. But when you do find areas like that, it's like, you know, you hit a jackpot, because we've caught some decent fish at Boskop. We're talking like a 1.8, 2 kilogram fish sitting right up the reeds like that.
I
know in Boskop what you're talking about, going through the reeds with a rubber duck.
Yeah.
I had one. I actually had a rowing boat.
Yeah.
And we were working that area, you know, where the river is. And
yeah,
we were pushing through the reeds, and then suddenly you just have this opening, and you think to yourself, wow, this is something different. You know, like you were pushing through reeds, and suddenly you're in the open. Maybe sometimes it will be a good idea now with the technology that we've got is to use the Google, the satellite maps to actually look at a dam and see if you can find and allocate or locate rather pockets of water in between the reeds, and then if you're adventurous enough, obviously try it out.
You know what, Adil, I'll tell you, my fishing personally has improved a great deal. Just from sitting at home and looking at the low water maps that we've got, so, you know, the low water images on the satellite maps. For example, last year, you know, we were we're always in, almost in like total drought, you know. Dams were very low. Dams like Arabi was like almost like a river, river trickling, and then eventually dried up in most areas. And obviously, Google takes these satellite maps. Google Earth takes these satellite images, and they upload it on the place, you know. And what has happened there is we've then taken those images and incorporated it and put it on the fish finders, you know. And this made things so much easier. Imagine having your fish finder and you found a dugout or a reef or something very interesting, you know, like a rock reef from a low water image. And just by having that on your fish finder, you can then take your side scan or your down scan and locate these jewels in the water, you know.
Mohammed, tell us very quickly, we just got about 9 minutes left before we wrap up today's program. Tell us quickly about boats and boating. We want to actually get back to that topic there with yourself. Before we left off, I think we were speaking about the trailers and your checks on your trailers and things like that.
I was actually going to say to Mohammed, obviously relating to boats. The next question, when you talk about the Google Maps, and I know we're getting very technical here, is it possible to sort of incorporate your Google Map into your fish finder?
Yes, that's exactly what I was saying. That's what we do all the time. We take softwares like, you get a Russian software, SAS Planet. SAS Planet, what you can actually do with that is you can take a low water image and you can convert that file to a, for example, on the Lawrence fish finders, they use what we call an AT5 file, which is compatible to actually view on your fish finder, that image. Now, that image is basically geo-reference. Now, geo-reference basically is just where it takes coordinates, you know, of the images, and it places it exactly to where it is in relation on the water, you know.
So,
and
at that point in time, Mohammed, at that point in time, obviously your Lawrence is sort of, is it connected to satellite?
Yes. Most of the Lawrence fish finders either come with built-in GPS. Now, all the standard fish finders, a lot of people, like I said, I don't want to get too technical because a lot of listeners might not even understand what I'm saying, but they have built-in GPS. Some people prefer external GPS receivers for more accuracy because of the built-in receivers, which only come with 16 channel as compared to the external receivers, which have a 50 channel receiver, you know. But they all come with built-in
GPS.
Built-in GPS.
Okay, so basically what happens is you set your coordinates and then you can go back to a fishing spot that you marked earlier on.
Correct, 100%.
And then if you are overlaying this sort of this Google
image. As well, it's creating a more clearer image of the area that you're fishing in.
I'll give you an example. If you look at the dam that we always like fishing, including Maha Sajad, the Werb Dam, you know, I've never fished the Werb Dam ever in my life. And I mean, before, when I just got onto the Werb Dam the very first time, I made a satellite image, a low water satellite image, and the time of the year was obviously spawn. And I was looking at, you know, where they normally would be, the spawn time of the year. And I seen these roads, old roads, sand roads that came out with rocks on the roads. And I think it was the first three or four casts, four fish. And I was like mind blown because we were on the road, the old road underwater. And it was just so much easier to locate these pieces of structure, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, Mohammed, they generally do say that. I mean, of course, when the waters are quite low, and I think the last season would have been the best for many a dam in South Africa to actually have your markings with your drop offs and your underwater structures and things like that as well.
Gee, 100%. You see, how I do it, I make the original satellite map if I haven't been in a dam. I put that onto my fish finder. I then go to my fish finder to have the map displayed or overlaid onto my chart, and then I go and mark all areas that I feel, you know, I want to visit for the day and just see how deep it is currently and what structures there are there. Obviously, I know, okay, I found a big hole or a big rock pile or old riverbed or, you know, a river channel or drop off or any sort of structure that I want to see. I can then go to it and then either create what we call a structure map. Now, structure map is basically, as you're driving on your boat, you have what we call side scan. Side scanners are scanners that scan right and left of the boat. So you'll be able to see whatever is on the right hand side of the boat and the left hand side of the boat, and then you get what we call down image below the boat. Now, the structure map, you can actually create a map of the actual structure you're seeing, and you can compare it to your satellite map. For example, there were old dumps that I went past, and I said, you know what, let me have a look at this and see how accurate it was. And you know, it was so accurate compared to the Google satellite image that I was actually mind blown. I thought to myself, so everything that is on my satellite map, I can actually go and visit, you know, and then have a look at. And that's what made me find more areas, more pieces of structure that I want to fish on the dam itself.
These devices that you're talking about, which obviously it's sonar. So do you have sonars that are so advanced that they sort of give you a very close to clear image of what's at the bottom? Similar to if you know when ladies go for a checkup to check sort of what baby there is in the womb, do you have that sort of sonar technology already where it can give you sort of like a clear image of the bottom?
Correct. This is the type of technology that we're using currently, which we term as side scan and down scan. It's
right.
Almost like a realistic picture-like quality. I wouldn't say 3D because of that that particular picture, but we've also just recently acquired a 3D image, you know, of structure. But myself, in particular, if I go out for the day and I visit a new area, I'll start the boat up, I'll start recording and creating a map, say for about a kilometer or two, and then convert the map on the water where it will look like I'm fishing dry land. So if I look down at my fish finder, I can see exactly, oh, here's a channel, there's a couple of pieces of brush, or here's a rock pile, or whatever it is. I mean, I've taken my fishing to such a level where I can see exactly where that big boulder is, how far it is from the boat, and to which angle and direction it is. So it's making things in terms of pinpointing structure and fishing structure accurately so good. The only other challenging thing would be you can find fish, but again, you've got to fish those fish, and sometimes those bass just don't want to bite on anything, you know?
Mohammed, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave the program for today, inshallah. We will catch up with you in the near future, inshallah.
inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Maybe we'll be together with him, inshallah.
Maybe. Yes.
We're waiting for you to take us on the boat.
My boat is still broken. Inshallah, in the next month or so, I'm trying to get it sorted out.
Ameen, inshallah.
You know what they say? It's like they say the mechanic's guy is broken, the upholsterous furniture is broken. You know? I don't know what they say about the teacher.
Yeah, I was going to tell you the same thing, Adil, but we'll leave that now. We won't mention it to you on air. Muhammad, jazakumullah again for your time. Inshallah, we'll catch up soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Adil, we just got a few seconds left before we wrap up as well. Adil,
you didn't tell me what your plans like. Are you going fishing anytime in the near future?
Hopefully, inshallah, Adil. Hopefully, yes. Not probably the following weekend or the weekend thereafter. I think maybe 2 weekends after the Eid. I think it will warm up quite nicely.
Yeah,
it will warm up quite nicely by that time, by mid-September sometime, inshallah. And I think Boskop would be actually ideal to start off with the kids, Adil. You know, just to go there just for the day. Spend some time, they enjoy the day, and then thereafter, inshallah, then perhaps plan a decent, good trip, Adil.
Inshallah, yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Inshallah, Adil. Adil, jazakumullah once again, we'll catch up with you also following Saturday.
Inshallah. Just a quick reminder, in case you forgot or you only joined us now, I am at the school, Dr. Yusuf Dadu Primary School is having the Entrepreneurs Day for the grade 7. Parents and community members, even if your kids are not in the school, no problem. Come out and support our kids. They've got stalls where they're selling various items. You know, I've seen a whole bunch of things here. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You come out and you have a look, inshallah.
Let them come and find
it. And support them. Definitely. Molana Sajjad Timol. And to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners, enjoy the cold weekend and we'll catch up with you later. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.